Muy bien, muchas gracias. Buenos días, ¿cómo están? Ok, excelente. Mientras tanto, we're going to look for Google Earth, if you can pull it up for me. And where's Andres and Alec? Are they here in the house? There they are. You guys ready? Give them a big hand. Andre and Alec are going to help me out today. Kids, you know what you're going to do, right? Give me a hand. Come on up, guys. They're going to help us out. And why they're here, ¿alguien que habla español acá? Que levante la mano. ¿Que habla español? ¿Alguien? ¿No? ¿Alguien que quiere $1,000,000? Levanta la mano. ¿Nadie? ¿Está seguro? Man, I just asked you guys, if you want $1,000,000, just raise your hand. I'll be glad to give it to you. Nobody raised their hand, so I take it you don't want it. And so that's, yeah, too late. That is what happens with missions, guys. I think that's my whole message today. You can share God's love with people, but if you don't communicate and they don't understand that message, they haven't heard it and they don't hear it, they can't believe it. If they can't believe it, they can't trust the Lord. They can't trust the Lord, they don't know who God is. Right? And so our whole job is to communicate that message in a way they can understand. So, Alec, come on, guys. Don't be bashful. They already applauded for you. Andre, come on up. There they come. Very good. Thank you, guys. They are wearing traditional Chilean garb today. And you can get this just in time for Christmas, by the way, since we're talking about Christmas. This will be on sale. No, it's not on sale. They are wearing traditional Chilean garb. Thank you guys for coming up. You guys are brave. I got to tell you, man, Alec was like, I not want to do this. But I said, your dad will give him his favorite candy after church today. So he said, okay. And so now he said, I got your dad committed now in front of the whole congregation. Okay? So he has to now, okay? All right, and you can blame your missionary coordinator, whoever that is, Nan. Where's Nan? Is she? She's yeah. Blame her. She's the one. But these guys are wearing traditional Southern Chile. What I'm wearing is what I'd wear every Sunday morning in Santiago, in this capital city, working with what you saw in the video with these people who are business folks, professional class folks, etc. But this is what they still are wearing down south in the rural areas of Chile, and a lot of farming communities, a lot of rural communities. Alec would be walking probably 6 kilometers if he could go to school. He'd walk about 6 kilometers, which in our worn Pyrenees would be about 3 miles approx, back to school. So that's a pretty long way to walk to school. You get wet, you get cold, you need something to keep you warm. And you'd be out with the ox cart or the hand sickle. Unbelievable, the hand sickle. Did you guys, anyone remember doing that by hand? Yeah, you're giving your ears away. Exactly. It's amazing, right? You'd be out there with the hand sickle. It's terrible. And just trying to harvest crops in. So praise the Lord. These folks are the ones that are the most evangelized in Chile. It is counterintuitive. It's the city folks, the professional folks, the upper class folks who don't have the gospel. It's these guys. Some of the communities are so well evangelized, there's 30% evangelical believers in some of their communities. It's just phenomenal. So with all that said, why these guys stay here and look foolish, Chiz has agreed by we love you guys. Chiz has, this is what missionaries do. Chiz has agreed to be very gracious to play for us what's called a trutruca. So if you could give this guy can do anything with any instrument. And he's been very gracious about this. This is a tourist version. This is not the Southern Chile one is made out of bamboo, and it's wrapped in cow intestine. I brought one back a few years ago. I started to travel with it, and it stinks. So I got rid of it. So this is just your PVC. So you kids, you can do this at home. Go out, get a cow's horn. Have your mom get some yarn. All right, wrap it up, and you make a trutruca, and this is what it would sound like.
No matter where I play this, it's going to be blown away.
I know, isn't it great? There is no way to get away from this. I don't know why the Mapuches, I think they did that so you don't play too long. It's the only thing I can figure. I don't know. I want him on tour. I want him on tour. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys very much. You guys were very gracious. Thank you very much. Give them a hand, guys. Cheers. Thanks so much. That's incredible. We did in Chile, in Santiago, 2 years ago, we had a Korean couple come as missionaries. We have an agreement with the Korean Holiness Church, it's called, in South Korea. They came as missionaries to Chile, sent and sustained by their church. Korea is sending out hundreds of missionaries every year. They have come to Chile to plant churches. As we are leaving Chile, as the Alliance Mission is leaving Chile, and I'll talk about that. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. I hope you caught that on the video. We're leaving, but we had this Korean couple come. She studied opera for 2 years in Italy. They take their music very seriously in Korea. They had a fundraiser for them to raise money for them as missionaries. They had a concert. They had an opera. And they raised about $10,000. in an opera. Just amazing. So God is using them. But they came, they were working with us, and I had them do our Christmas Eve service. What you said, Tink, got me going on that one. We did a Christmas Eve service. Now, Christmas Eve down there, you know, is summertime. It's like 1,000 degrees. You are sweating to death. And I had a candlelight Christmas Eve service. Of course, it's broad daylight because it'll get dark about 10 o'clock. Candlelight, we're all sweating to death, but it was lovely. And I had her sing some Italian stuff. Then I had her sing some Christmas hymns in Spanish. But for me, I had her sing White Christmas in English. Because we never get to hear that. And I just, you know, I'm dreaming. It's wonderful. And then she sang All Holy Night in Spanish. And I got up to give a 10-minute upbeat salvation message. Everybody was just crying their eyes out. Nobody. And I couldn't do anything but just pray, because it was the music was the message. And it hit the heart. And it's that God's creative majesty as reflected in the attempts we make as humans to somehow reflect this incredible, majestic creator that when we get to heaven, we'll begin to understand that we don't understand right now. And so it was just a marvelous thing. And that was our message. And people came to Christ. It's just a marvelous thing. So, folks, I'm glad I'm here. I thank your pastor. He was very kind, what he said to me today. And I want to thank him and his dear family and bringing me back in here. And I can't believe he's heard me and he's willing to take a risk to bring me back. That says a lot for him. So it's not his fault if things don't go well today. A couple of things. My prayer card's back there on the table. Please take one of those. And we have a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in receiving updates, email updates, every 6 weeks I'll send one out. You're welcome to sign up for that. We'd love to have you on that one. And also on the back table, I've got some things. You'll have more on your church, but these are things the district is doing called Fresh Impact. Here's another one with Russia. The Russian camp information is back there. Mongolia. Countries where we are ministering in Eastern Asia, which we don't give the names to, but they're called Tea House and other things. And so missionaries are going in. It's very, very difficult. Families are coming back out after 3 or 4 years, beat up, hurt. Spiritually, it's a struggle. Culturally, it's a struggle. They feel isolated. They feel alone. They can't give their names. They can't tell you their real names. They go by Joe and Sally, right? They can't tell you where they're working. They go by teacup. They can't go by what they're really doing. So they feel isolated and they feel disconnected. There's a wonderful program the district is doing to help first-time missionaries who are going for 2 years, basically the first 2 years are language and cultural training. And they're asking people to kind of adopt these new families, send them some letters, send them some licorice or something once in a while. It means the world to them just to get a little note saying, we haven't forgotten you. We know what you're doing and we remember you. That means the world to them. Those first couple of years are vital in our missionaries staying for long term in a particular culture or country. Those are very critical years. And our attrition rate is very high right now with some of these young families. So your prayer is needed and your support is needed. And there's things you can do that are simple but will make a world of difference. So if you have questions, please see Nan. Nan right there, stand up. Good? Okay, very good. And where's your Women's Alliance, Great Commission Women? Nancy, no, Becky. I was close. Susie. Oh, Pam. Thank you, Pam. Stand up again. I don't know if y'all saw you. Turn around, stand up. There you go. Okay, see her. Your pastor and anybody else that need to see, touch base with? That's good. Okay, he says move on. Okay. move on, Bob. All right. Thank the Lord for everything. Now, I want to share a few minutes. We're not going to keep us too long today. I just want to share a little bit about what's on my heart with us today. And basically, our theme for Missions Conference is Jesus' words at the end of the Great Commission found in Matthew. I will be with you sometimes. I'll be with you when it's sunny. I'll be with you when things are going well. I'll be with you when you're good, right? Isn't that what it says? I'll be with you when you come to church, right? I'll be with you when you behave yourselves, kids, right? Like you're sitting in the front pew and you're not behaving yourselves. Exactly. No. What does the Bible say? I'll be with you always. Always. All right. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 14, I was taking it to hang this message on today. And I'd like you to turn, if you have it, if you've got a device or a Bible there, Matthew 5, 14. Jesus has said, I will be with you always. So we're agreed to that, even though we don't always feel that. We know that this is Scripture. We know the Scripture is trustworthy. We know the Lord is trustworthy. So we know that God's not going to mislead us. And so we have to grasp this by faith, because it's not a human thing. We can't see Him. We have to take this by faith. He says He'll be with us always. He will be with us always, even though we're not always aware. But by faith, we will believe this, and we will, by faith, hold on to this. So Matthew 5:14, He's with His disciples. They've just done the Sermon on the Mount kind of thing. It is kind of early in the ministry. They're a small group. They don't have a lot of resources. They don't even really know what's going to happen yet. But He says these words, incredible words. He says, first He says, you're the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, how's it going to be seasoned? It's good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then He says, you are the light of the world. Now, He doesn't say to His disciples, you are the salt of Galilee and the light of Nazareth, which He could have done. He doesn't say you're the light or the salt of Jerusalem and the light of Israel, which He could have done. He said you're the salt of the earth, which means the whole world. And then He says you're the light of the world. So twice He repeats this to them. And if I was those disciples, I would have thought, boy, I don't know who He's talking to, but He's got to be a little, you know, off His rocker here, as we'd say. He says you're the light of the world. And so the Lord gives to them, and He gives to us, a very clear message today. It's a big vision, folks. Our faith is big. It's not limited. So we've got to get out of that box. It's a big vision. He's saying to you and I today, we are the light of the world. And I'm sure His disciples, just like when He said, when they complained that the people need food, and Jesus said, well, you feed them. And they looked around and they said, well, we can't do that. It's kind of the same way with us. He says, you're the light of the world. And we say, well, I don't know about that. But if the Lord says, I'll be with you always, that means I'll be with you always, even when we are the light of the world. And I want to mention sometimes when God has been with us always as missionaries, in particular, and then in Chile, in some of the experiences. Now, I'm going to go through a couple of these. Just to drive this point home, that God will be with you and with myself always, as we then desire to fulfill His will. So if He is with us, we cannot be the light of the world on our own. We understand this. It's impossible. I can't be the light of Du Bois, Pennsylvania on my own. I fail miserably. I can't even be the light of my house. But with God, right, we can. And if the Lord is with us, we can be the light of the world. That's the exciting part. And anywhere we go, whatever we do. When Jose Enriquez, a miner, copper miner, under the ground in Copiapó, Chile, 2 years ago in 2010, when that mine collapsed because the owners did not take the necessary precautions by code, and that mine collapsed, 33 men were trapped underground. Jose was one of them. Jose was not alone. God was with him. Scripture says always God was with Jose in the bottom of that mine, trapped with 33 other guys for 69 days. Didn't have any human contact for 17 days. Thought they were goners. They talked about suicide. They talked about cannibalism. They talked about who would go first so the others could live. They ate a half a teaspoon of tuna a day. They had a little bit of dried milk that was old and a little bit of water that was contaminated. That's what they were living on. Until they were able to drill through. Company from Berlin, Pennsylvania. A guy from Berlin, Pennsylvania went down with a company, gave them the drill, and found these guys down there, drilled down, and began to give them food and water. Jose saw a light that day, and then it was pitch black. And there were supplies in that tunnel, but nobody knew which way to go. It was chaos, and it was dark. And Jose said, I saw a light. Follow the light, he told his other guys. There is life in the light. Is that cool or what? Isn't that a blessing? That is God with us and was with Jose. They followed that light. They arrived at where the stores were, those meager stores, but that's what saved their lives. And Jose discovered that God is real, and he was with him even in that tunnel. And while he was down there by there wondering perhaps why God let this happen to him, he was holding prayer services and Bible studies, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Several men came to trust in Jesus Christ through that experience, because he was the light of those guys down that tunnel. God was with us when Cheryl and I were clinging and clutching to the legs of our dining room table, February 27, 2010, at 3:30 in the morning, for our very lives, trying to get every inch of our body underneath the center of that table as possible, while we were enduring what was one of the world's 10 worst earthquakes in the history of the world. It was horrible. It was unbelievable. The noise was deafening. But we were not alone. We cried out to God. It was not like we planned this. It was not like, hey, honey pie, should we have a prayer meeting right now? No, that did not happen. We looked at each other, and we just cried out to the Lord. We were just praying. We were having a Pentecostal prayer meeting under the dining room table. You know how you do that? You all pray at the same time, and you shout really loud. That's Pentecostal prayer meeting. We were having a Pentecostal prayer meeting because the noise was so deafening, but we were not alone. God was with us. I was not alone when in Chile, in my first couple of years as a missionary, I was preaching what turned out to be one of my best sermons in the world. It turned out to be what I thought was the worst one. I was preaching about when you are in that deep, dark tunnel. You remember this one? And you're depressed. A lot of depression in Santiago, a city of 7 million people. Per capita, they run one of the highest in the world for antidepressants. Very stressful. And so a lot of people get into depression. So I was preaching against, I was talking about depression. And Christ can help you through depression. And you're not alone, I was preaching in this deep, dark tunnel. God is with you in that deep, dark tunnel. There is light at the end of the deep, dark tunnel. And God was with me as I was preaching, because the whole time I was preaching, I was saying, you're in that deep, dark tuna, not in that deep, dark tunnel. And God is with you in that deep, dark tuna. And there, the tuna has a light at the end of it. And it's okay if you're in that deep, dark tuna. We've all been there. God was with me because that was the best message, one of the best messages I ever preached. Do you know that people have come up to me and said, Pastor, I want you to know your message helped me. Whenever I started falling into depression, I just remembered how funny and how ridiculous your message was. And that has helped me realize I don't have to take things so seriously. God is with us. When Cheryl and I were in Costa Rica in San Jose, and our little baby girl Susan was born, so you're kind of my adopted Susan now, was born, and I was all alone. It was an emergency delivery, and Cheryl was in really bad shape, bleeding all over the place. We rushed her down there. I didn't have time to call anybody or inform anybody, and I knew I was not alone. God was with me. The doctor came out and said, your little girl is not going to live. She's not breathing. Maybe an hour or so. Then he came back, and he said, she's going to live, but she's severely, severely damaged. Her brain has been severely affected for lack of oxygen. I was not alone. I sensed the power and the presence of God. But what I didn't know is that not only did I sense this in Chile, but God even connected with a lady in Pennsylvania. It, December 13th, 1989, about 1:30 in the afternoon, her prayer card fell off her refrigerator onto where she was making lunch. And she decided, I better pray for these folks. I don't know why. I don't know what for. But God obviously has a reason to pray for them. And this dear lady told us 4 years later, asked us what happened that day. And then we realized, oh my gosh, not only did we feel God's presence, but he had connected with somebody in Pennsylvania when we didn't have time to connect with anybody to let them know what was going on to pray for us. Folks, we're not alone. God is with us always. That's the beautiful thing about being about a church, being part of a church family. Because we have people around here who love us, and we're not alone. God will connect others to us. So we have been and understood God will be with us. When Enrique Weiss and his wife, Catherine, in 1897, told A.B. Simpson, God is calling us to South America, not to Africa. When God put a vision on, in her, 3 nights in a row, gave her a dream of people suffering in South America. There was a German group of Lutheran immigrants in southern Chile in 1897, had a revival, praying to God for a pastor. They were not alone. God heard their prayer. And he gave a dream to Catherine Weiss in 1897 to go to South America. They acted on faith, and they believed this, and they went to South America. And this German community received this pastor, because God connected through a vision to them to come to Chile. A.B. Simpson said, I don't have any money, but we'll pray for you. And I'm here to say that to you today. If you don't have any money, you know what? It's more important to pray. That's the truth. It really is incredible. And so what happened was Enrique and Catherine get to Chile in 1897 with no money, no Spanish. And on top of that, she's pregnant. Can you imagine? Enrique said, what did you get me into, honey pie? but he spoke German. And this German community found out there was this crazy guy speaking their language in Chile. And they hired him on as a pastor. He pastored them for 2 years. Then he opened up the Christian Missionary Alliance of Chile. God was with them. God was with this dear lady by the name of Gina, whose husband walked out on her in Chile on the birthday party, the 1 year birthday party of her son. He walked out. Didn't hear from him for 18 years. Not a word, not anything. In the meantime, we had started this little church that you saw in the video. And Gina had come to Christ, come to trust God. She was baptized. Her daughter came to trust Christ, was baptized. And her boy came to trust Christ, was baptized. And that little boy, well, that little, turned out to be that little 16-year-old, said, "Pastor, I'm praying my dad's going to come back." And I said, "Okay, son, well, we'll pray for you." I didn't think there was any chance of that, but we'll pray for you with this. And sure enough, that guy, Jose Emilio, walked back into their life after 18 years when he was 18 years old. They take it as an answer to God, or an answer for prayer from God. But what I take as a real answer to prayer is that Jose Emilio is not yet a believer. He's coming to church, but he'll walk out. He'd walk out the door half the time when I started preaching. Thankfully, none of you have done that. And so he would do that because he did not like to hear the gospel. It bothered him, but he was coming to church. And she came up to me one day and she said, "I'm going to forgive him. And I believe God wants me to forgive him, and I'm going to let him come back into the house." And I thought that was incredible of her to do so. What an act of love and faith and trust in God. And before I left Chile last October, I said, "Gina, how's it going?" And she said, "Well, Pastor," she said, "I got to tell you, I feel no resentment, no anger at all to this man. I'm just praying that he'll open his heart up to Christ. But I have, God has taken away all of that from me. I have love for him." See, that's a God thing. God is with her. He was with Miguel and Cecilia. I got to wrap up with this. He was with this. You saw Miguel and Cecilia in the video. He was with them when for 4 years they were praying for a church in their area, the city of Santiago. It was so bad, Miguel decided to hold services on his own in his house. He hired a pastor. He paid an Assembly of God pastor out of his own money, out of his pocket. He paid this guy the monthly salary, his tithe. He was a banker. They held services in his house. It was terrible. Nobody came. His kids didn't even want to go, teenage kids. Miguel wondered, what did he do wrong? Did he hear God wrong? Did he misunderstand? What happened? Why this failure when he thought that he was following God and he thought God was with him? But God was with him all the time. He just, sometimes, folks, it takes faith, and sometimes we just have to trust the Lord. Even when it looks black out there, we have to trust the Lord. God won't defraud us. And he didn't defraud Miguel and Cecilia either. Because one day I was up on a hill having coffee, and that's what I was trying to talk about that video. Because we were just finished a church plant, Santiago. I was field director, and we were looking at what would be our next ministry in Chile. Or do we leave Chile? We weren't sure. Is our time done? Should we leave, or should we start another church plant? And right at that time of crossroads, of decision-making, God shows up, and he answers Miguel's prayer, gives me a very clear, audible message, and a very visual message, points it out to me. Literally points it out to me, says, "Right over there where that area is dark, that's where I want you to start a church." I didn't know the name of this place. I knew nothing about it. Didn't have a clue. I said, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do." Cheryl and I went there to look for confirmation of what God was trying to do. And we got there. We moved next door. We rented a house and moved in next door to guess who? Miguel and Cecilia. Now, is that not God answering his prayers or what? Out of the thousands of houses we could have moved into, we moved next to him. 1% or less of the people in that area are believers, so the odds were against us. Miguel told me he was there trying, as a believer, to have a church. And I told him that God had called me to plant a church here. I just came for confirmation to see whether or not it was God, or was it that empanada I had last night? You know, what was this? And I needed confirmation, and Miguel was confirmation that this is what we were to do. And so you saw the result, a beautiful congregation. 8 years later, land, a building, a Chilean pastor, loves God with all of his heart. And people who are reaching that area of the city, about 250,000 people, and we are the only church building there. We're it. We're the light. Now, there's a Baptist church and a little house church down the way, about a mile down the way. They have started. Praise the Lord for them. There's a small Presbyterian group that has started in a little tiny house. Praise the Lord for them. But we are it. We have a permit. We have license. We have everything to operate as a church. And that church is going strong. They are doing much better without me, with Pastor Elias as a Chilean, than they are with a gringo as a pastor. So God has blessed these people who have reached out in faith and said, "Lord, I believe you. You'll be with me always. I trust you to do whatever you ask me to do." And I can guarantee you today, if I am wrong, I will shovel the snow in heaven from your sidewalk for eternity. It doesn't get any better than this. Now, I'm hoping there's no snow, but I like to ski, so, you know, maybe it'll be something. Maybe it won't fall on our sidewalk. I don't know. But if the Bible says, I will be with you always, as Jesus said to his disciples at the end of that Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you. Some verses say to the end of the age, others say always. I believe the Lord in this. And you can take God at his word. You can trust him in this. Our daughter Susan, she's 22, married. Healthy girl as could be, was on like the cover of Sports Illustrated for like Chile as a soccer player. In high school, was actually a member of a professional women's soccer team. An incredible young girl who had a horrible start in life because God was with her. Because God was with her. And now she's married, now she's expecting her first child. Miguel and Cecilia continue on in Chile. But Miguel, when he agreed to help us plant this church, I said, Miguel, this isn't going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of obstacles. It's going to be a lot of difficulties. It's not going to be a yellow brick road here. It's going to be very difficult. Because God will be with us. And I said in the video, God's with us for a reason, folks. We need him. We can't do it on our own. Bible says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Right? And that's a promise. Jesus says, if you want to bear fruit, he says, abide in me and my words abide in you and you will bear much fruit. We can't do this on our own. We need to be close to the Lord to be the light of the world. Miguel needed that too. Miguel, as soon as we got started with this ministry, this church plant, lost his job, lost two jobs, had to sell his house, had to buy a small apartment. Just so you don't feel too bad for him, he kept his beach house. So, you know, he did have that. But still, he lost his job twice. He went to selling insurance for a while. He was so humiliated, humbled that he had to do that. His wife was in almost a fatal car accident. His wife got so depressed and so upset that God would forget about them and just leave them out in the middle of nowhere and his church plant thing and his whole deal. She was so upset. She went into depression, as I talked about. She got into depression. And Miguel called me up and said, you've got to come over and talk to my wife. She's leaving me. Went in. The house was all dark except for a candle. She was in deep depression. And he said, Pastor, please talk to my wife. And I didn't know what to say to this woman. Just pray, Lord, you've got to help this woman. And the only thing I could do was, Cecilia, trust God. Put your faith in God. He's trustworthy. He's been with us. He'll be with you. The enemy's attacking you because he wants to take you and your husband away from this ministry and trust him. She did go for 3 weeks, and she came back. She came back. And she's a great testimony today to these ladies in Chile. You heard her testimony. She's a great testimony. Not because of who we are ourselves, because of who we are in Christ. So, folks, let's be light. Let's be salt. Let's be light this year. May God use you to be light wherever you are in this community. And then open those eyes and say, Lord, use us to be light to this entire world. So as you pray this year and you remember missionaries around the world, 675 Alliance missionaries, if you're here and doing this, what you're doing, remember us. Pray for missions. And when God gives you extra money that you just don't know what to do with, okay? Say, Lord, give me some money to support missions. Because you said we're the light of the world. I want to see this happen. So I want you to give us some money so we can support missions to help participate in being light of the world. Amen? God bless you and God use you. Pastor?